Scott Kaplan joins the show. Hi, Cap. How was the weekend?
The weekend was great, but that was like the most morbid freaking game of games ever.
You don't like history?
It was.
It was really morbid. The darkest game of games of all time, Cap.
Morbid is the right word.
Really. You guys don't know about dictators in history, Pepe? You wave like you won every day.
That's in your imagination.
I mean, gosh, man. Like, Bergie even, like, got eliminated. He was like, oh, gee, sorry, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, darn.
All right, let me test you with one of them. This isn't really dark, but it's kind of interesting. This current dictator, mm-hmm. think current, is rumored to not only be the richest leader of a country, but also the wealthiest person on the planet. Who is it, Cappy?
Is it Putin?
That's right.
Oh, well, see, Cap, we should have invited Cap to play.
People think he's worth $300 billion.
Yes. Wow.
Well, he just got, and I'm doing this in air quotes, elected to another six-year
88%
term.
88% I saw.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So and if popular. You're in the other 12%, good luck.
And he doesn't think that he's a dictator.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, the 88% of the people support him. How could he be a dictator?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, they really support him, all right.
Yeah.
They support him. I've been watching a lot of those things over there. It's like, well, if you dare vote against him, you got some major trouble going, mm-hmm. Jack. Mm-hmm. So
wait, don't go start your car up.
Right.
So, внимание.
Yeah. Now, Cap, I wanted to play something for you that we had on Friday that to get your opinion. Now, for people who don't know, Cappy was a kicker at Pittsburgh in college. Mm-hmm. Was your coach, Cap, a hard ass? Was he somebody that yelled and screamed, or was he more of a friendly guy?
Head coach?
Yeah. Who was it?
Well, my first head coach is a guy named Mike Godfrey, and we were so bad that we got him fired.
Okay.
And then our second head coach is a guy named Paul Hackett. USC fans will remember him.
I know
him.
Paul.
We were so bad we got him fired. So we were bad enough to get good coaches fired.
Okay, so Michael and I talk a lot about if you play like a coach like Woody Hayes or Bobby Knight probably wouldn't work in 2024.
No.
But Carol Lawson, who's the women's coach at Duke, gave a speech last week, Cap, and it was kind of like a speech to explain why coaches are hard on players, why they yell at them and make things difficult. And I'm going to play it. I just want to have you react to it. Here she is.
Because if you go around waiting for stuff to get easier in life, it's never going to happen. And then what happens? Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, this, I don't know, when is it going to be easy for me? Oh, it's easy for other people. It's not. It's hard. And the second we see you handling stuff, handling hard better, what are we going to do? We're going to make it harder. We're going to make it harder. Because we're preparing for you for when you leave here. Not just basketball and life. And if you think life, when you leave college, is going to be all of a sudden get easy because you graduated and you got a Duke degree, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So make yourself a person that handles hard well, not someone that's waiting for the easy. Because if you have a meaningful pursuit in life, it will never be easy.
Michael, is she right or is she a little full of it there?
Well, it all depends. Now, does she berate her players and embarrass them and call them names?
I think she's hard on them. I don't know. I don't know if she does. I don't know if she goes over that cliff.
I have no problems with coaches I played with. I played under. Were very demanding, Cappy. Of course, you played at a high level, too. So my coaches in high school, college, and pros. You guys know two of them, Jack Ramsey and Pat Riley. Demanding as any coach ever coached the game. But they talked to us like young men. They treated us like adults. They didn't cuss us out. They didn't scream at us like we're drill sergeants in the military where you're preparing people for life and death. Yes, they were hard on us. They demanded stuff of us. They held us accountable, but they treat us respectfully. I don't respect no coach. I wouldn't want my son to play for no coach who's going to berate my son, scream at him, yell at him, just like you wouldn't want your son or daughter going to work for some company and the boss is screaming and yelling at him and berating him and denigrating him. So no, I don't agree with that message or that kind of coaching style. Even when I played back in the 70s, I didn't appreciate it, didn't respect it, didn't want it for me, and I wouldn't want it for any other kid. You can be demanding. My coaches were as demanding as any coaches ever coached this game, Pepe, but they talked to us like adults. How about that?
Cap, what do you think?
Well said, Michael.
Cappy, are you okay with coaches yelling at you and getting in your face?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was always a saying that coaches had, which was, if we stop yelling, it means we stopped caring. You know, and I always subscribe to that. Like, he not yelling at me. He don't care anymore. But I'm with Michael. I mean, I hated being berated. I hated being yelled at and cursed at and having a coach try and humiliate you. I hated that. And I had it plenty. Believe me, there were too many times where coaches were just big bullies. And but Michael, I'm with you because you know, you don't want your kid to play for that kind of coach, just like you don't want your kid to work for that kind of a boss.
Right.
You know, I am with you 1,000%. But what the Duke coach said, I do agree with, because in Pat Riley's book, one of the things he starts with is every day you wake up, life is going to be hard. And it is going to be hard. You know, my daughter just came home for spring break and she had a bunch of her friends here that are all students at Boise State. And they're all having spring break. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm getting ready to go back on back-to-back-to-back calls. I go, that's what it is when you're an adult. You work all the time for the most of us, you know?
Yeah.
And so you got to be prepared for things being hard, because it's college is a joke. We all thought college was hard. Well, college wasn't hard. It was fun. It was easy.
Yeah, that's
it was,
true.
It was leisurely.
Pepe, what do you think? You okay, Michael, with a coach that gets in your face?
Michael, you spoke like a real dictator.
I did.
But I agree with you. There is a fine line, and I agree altogether. A coach should be strong, should be demanding, but should never, ever treat you bad or being a bully like the two coaches that you mentioned.
Bobby Knight. Wade Hayes and Bobby Knight. Yeah. Could you have played for Bobby Knight?
No, nor would I have wanted to.
Or want your son or daughter to play for guy like that?
Bobby Knight got off on it. Like, yeah. Bobby Knight made this about himself, and he got enabled to a point where this could be part of his image, where it, like, in a really perverse, dark way, became celebrated.
At the time that he was doing it, and now he couldn't do it.
Like, the idea, like, I think recently there was a, I think Indiana did some type of, like, bobblehead with him throwing a chair or something. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, this got celebrated. You know, my daughter, actually, at her middle school, her coach in volleyball, and she takes volleyball very seriously, he used to play professional basketball, like, overseas. He played all over the world. So, you know, he's a very good athlete. Didn't reach the NBA, but a very good basketball player. She's told me all the time, he pushes them, and he can be, like, hard on them in the sense of he demands that they be at their best, but he never, ever berates them in a way that makes them feel bad about themselves. Coaches who do that just want to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Right, so we played this on Friday. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but the sad thing about this conversation we're having is that Bobby Knight was a basketball genius. I mean, he won 3 national championships for a reason. He was really smart. Here's Exhibit A. In 1984, if you've never heard this is absolutely amazing. 1984, Bobby Knight's coaching Team USA at the Olympics. The Olympics were in Los Angeles that year. And so Michael Jordan had never played an NBA game. All right. Now, keep in mind, he won a national championship at North Carolina when he was a freshman, but didn't win as a sophomore, didn't win as a junior. Everybody knew he was a good player. Somebody asked Bobby Knight while they were practicing for the Olympics, what do you think of Michael Jordan's game? And listen to how on the money, I mean, just brilliant Knight was. Again, this is before there was ever an NBA game played by Michael Jordan. Here it is.
The kid is just an absolutely great kid. If I were going to pick the 3 or 4 best athletes I've ever seen play basketball, he'd be one of them. I think he's the best athlete I've ever seen play basketball, bar none. If I were going to pick people with the best ability I'd ever seen play the game, he'd be one of them. If I were going to pick the best competitors that I'd ever seen play, he'd be one of them. So in the categories of competitiveness, ability, skill, and then athletic ability, he's the best athlete, he's one of the best competitors, he's one of the most skilled players. And that, to me, makes him the best basketball player that I've ever seen play.
Whoa.
I mean, that he said that before Jordan ever played in NBA. I mean, he knew. And, you know, Michael, you know this story. The Blazers GM, the one who drafted you, was a guy named Stu Inman.
Yep.
And Stu was friends with my high school coach, a guy named Jack Arion. And so he came to our basketball banquet and talked to us. And, you know, back then, Stu was, you know, basketball lifer. So Bobby Knight calls Inman because he knows him. And he calls him and says, Stu, he basically says everything he just said in that clip. He goes, you have to take Michael Jordan. He goes, Bobby, I don't need him. I got Clyde Drexler. I need a big guy. So I'm going to take Sam Bowie. He goes, Stu, you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And he said, Stu Inman said tonight, Bobby, I'm sorry, I need a center. And Bobby Knight said, then play Jordan at center. You don't know what you're doing if you pass this guy up. And sure enough, he's right. So, Michael, he ruined all of his genius by being a jerk.
Yeah, by being a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no cause for that. And believe me, like I said, I played for the toughest and most demanding coaches you can play for without having to bully us and disrespect us.
The thing is, too, he didn't just bully his players. He bullied faculty at Indiana.
Media, everybody.
He bullied everybody because, A, he was enabled, and, B, this was a choice.
Didn't he bully his son?
I'm sure he bullied everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sure he bullied everybody because, again, he was allowed to.
He was allowed.
Yeah. And also, it was at a time where, just for whatever reason, this became like part of the legend and the genius of it all.
Cappy, have you watched any of the Dynasty on Apple about the Patriots?
I have not seen it yet. And it's like, some people tell me it's awesome and you got to watch it. And other people tell me it's terrible. It's just Bob Kraft propaganda. And I've heard it's awesome. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I've seen all 9 episodes. The 10th one comes out next week. It's only 10 parts. Andy, have you seen any of them?
No.
You guys have to watch it.
It's so good.
You guys have to watch it. Laura, are you up to speed? Are you?
No, like, I missed this. The one that just came out, but I've pretty much caught up.
And it is not. History is not going to be kind to Bill Belichick if this is the last dance for the Patriots, and I think it will be.
What is it called?
It's called Dynasty. And it's on Apple. It's done by Ron Howard's Imagine, and everyone's in it. Bob Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Randy Moss, Bill Belichick. It's like Bob Kraft got on the phone and said, this is going to be the definitive project that tells the story of the Patriots. We want you to be a part of it, and I'm giving you full permission to tell the truth.
Wow.
And Belichick, Cap, comes off so bad in this.
Why?
He preached accountability but didn't hold it himself. He begged people, do not talk to the media. We don't want any outside distractions. And then he wrote a letter of support for Donald Trump when he ran. And all of the players said, wait, you told us we can't support anybody. You told us we can't do any of this stuff.
Wow.
So the rules that he made the players live by, he didn't live by himself. He said, the only thing that matters is that we win. Okay. All the other stuff is BS. So he benches Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
Right.
He's getting torched by Nick Foles. 3 of his defensive captains go to him and say, Coach, you got to put Malcolm in the game. He played every snap on our defense this year. Nick Foles is torching us. Put Malcolm in the game. You've always said all that matters. And he had a personal problem with Butler that he won't say what it was. And Butler's in this, and he doesn't know what it was. And it cost him a Super Bowl.
You know what's interesting about this, too? I'm just reading a little bit about it, is it's done with, like you said, Ron Howard and Brian Grazer, but it's also with NFL Films. So the NFL is, I imagine, not intentionally, but they're playing a part of, like, unmasking one of their own greatest legends of, like, the last several decades. Like, they're actually part of, like, putting a totally different image of Belichick out there.
And I can't wait for you to watch it because I think you're going to love it. And one thing you're going to say is, when it's over, is there is no doubt after watching this that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, we now think, had more to do with them winning Super Bowls than Bill Belichick did.
Well, when you learn what Brady put himself through and how Danny Amendola has a great line in there somewhere where he said, Laura, what was the line about how
it says they were, they played for Tom.
They were something like, we worked for Bill, but
played for Tom.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
And Brady, I mean, Belichick did not ignite. He tried to run Brady out of there with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Robert Kraft finally put his foot down and said, we are not trading Brady ever. So I don't know what you're up to with this.
Yeah.
But we are not, and he put his foot down.
I have to check it out because sounds very interesting.
But John, is it my understanding that this is not something that they like just whipped together in the last year?
No, they've been working on it for three years.
How long?
They've been working on it for 3 years.
Gotcha.
And Brady is super candid. He says the F word 100 times. Bob Kraft is super candid. The only thing they don't get into is they don't get into the personal life stuff. They don't get into Brady's divorce. They don't get into Kraft at the massage parlor. They don't get into Belichick breaking up with his girlfriend. It's all football. The only off the field stuff is they do a whole episode on Aaron Hernandez.
So Brady and Belichick have no relationship now?
No, and you'll understand why after you watch this.
So it's like Brady, like
Belichick treated him like crap.
He won't. And be by the way, speaking of
he won't
of
be there
bullying.
For Brady's indoctrination induction into the Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
Indoctrination into the Hall
I don't know.
Of Fame.
And I know. By the way, after watching this, I think Belichick would be terrible on TV. You know, yeah. Some people say Belichick's a genius. Put him on TV, he'd be terrible.
Yeah, and yeah, you, this whole one. Thing started with talking about bullying coaches who bully people. So now the word is that, you know, all these people who worked at the Patriots, who worked for Belichick, you know, they accepted the way he behaved for all these years because they were winning, right? I mean, they went to 9 Super Bowls in those 20 years, and they won 6 of them. And once they started losing, but he still had that same bully mentality, it just completely soured the entire work environment for everybody. And when he got fired, and make no mistake, that's what he was fired. The whole like office place and all the people who are support staff, it's like a whole new fresh environment now there because he's no longer around beating people up, you know?
Yeah, it made a huge difference. All right, we got to get out of here. Beto's hanging
Where
around. Sedano's coming in. Cap, we got a game, Cap. Lakers-Hawks tonight. You going to be there?
No, not tonight. Not tonight.
Okay. Cappy, right. You look really good with the white tuxedo, huh?
Oh, thank you, Pepe. I'm glad you saw those pictures.
There you go. Cap, styling and wilding. Zanotto and Cap coming up next, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Yeah.
Cappy, did you miss me? Were you afraid I wasn't going to walk in the studio or something?
Well, I was just worried about you, buddy.
Well, I was doing the NAHJ, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, was doing like a sports like Q&A.
Yeah.
And I was part of it. It was myself, Moises Linares, who works at the MLS, MJ Acosta, who I've known forever at the NFL Network, Samantha Rivera. So there was just a bunch of us there. So I didn't want to leave early, and I knew we had crosstalk, so I knew you'd be fine.
I actually thought the reason you didn't come in on crosstalk is because there was no room in the studio. You know, there's a lot of beef.
There was a lot of beef in there.
You know, I mean, you got Michael and Pepe, and then you got John and AK. So you know, there's a lot going on in that room, you know?
Yeah.
But then when everybody said you were on a Zoom, I was like, well, geez, George and I didn't talk about that earlier today. I wonder if everything's okay. And then Big Mouth, I mean Beto, starts yelling, shut up and just do the show. It doesn't matter where he is.
First of all,
Mind your own freaking business.
I didn't say shut up.
Yeah, you did.
You were going wah, wah, wah with Laura. You were wah, wah, wah.
You were wah, wah, wah.
I was like, wait a second. What do you mean, George?
I mean, you text me 3 minutes ago. Hey, you good?
Right, because Beto's in the back going, you mind your own business. You go do the show. You know,
I said,
like, you mind your own business,
your
sucker. Who are you? What are you, the boss?
No, I'm the guy popping off.
And yeah, you are. That's who you are. That's why I'm saying, mind your own business.
Yeah, I was a live imaging Bert, okay? That's what I was.
You're a live imaging Bert?
Yeah, so do your job then.
All right, Lib.
Very Lib. I was just saying, do
I mean,
job.
I even wore a polo shirt for this today, like a collar for this thing I did on Zoom.
Yeah, but Laura was trying to tell him, George is doing a Zoom, and you're like, that's okay. You can't do the show without George.
No, she goes like this. She goes, Greg's about to sit in. And I go, well,
because
I text
them. I said, I don't know how much longer this is going to last. It should be wrapping, but just sit in there with Cappy just in case. I didn't know Beto was here.
Neither was
and
I.
Then Beto,
I'll hear to the rescue. You know me. Yes, I
was. Right. And then I'm sorry. I'm going, Beto, mind your own business, sucker.
So I'm trying to help mold the Hispanic, the future of the Hispanic sports journalists.
Well, where was Beto to do that?
I got issues with that organization, so I don't get invited.
What does that mean?
I got some issues, bro.
I don't know what kind of issues he has.
No. First of all, it's Moises Linares, great guy. He's actually from the Valley with the CSUN. Does a lot.
Right,
of
he's an LA kid. Yeah,
Salvadorian guy. Jorge Sedano. And I'm actually gonna be. I'm Cappy. I do a lot of work that's not on the radar. I go to the streets. I go to the kids. I go to the schools, man.
Right.
That's where I'm
at. He believes the children are our future.
Yeah,
yes, he does.
Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Did I see you this weekend at Long Beach State for a volleyball game?
We do it all, man. The Miller Lite Minute was at Long Beach State against Hawaii.
Dude, Long Beach is on my radar today.
Oh, yeah, because you want to talk about Dan Monson, I'm sure.
I mean, this is just the most amazing thing to me.
Not really.
UCLA doesn't
No,
make
it's a
it
cool
to
story. You don't think it's a cool story?
It is a cool story.
I mean,
what?
The guy was fired and won the conference tournament.
They're not that good. They're going to get smoked.
So what? They made the tournament. When was the last time Long Beach State made the tournament?
They were the fifth seed.
You want to talk about peeing on the parade? What the hell's wrong with you?
Because I was in Vegas for all those tournaments. I was going to go. I was like, Long Beach? Nah, they're going to get smoked. The next night, they're going to get smoked. They just kept
And they
going.
Kept winning.
Yep.
That's a cool story by definition.
In spite of him, they won.
No, that's he had a decent record. He'd been there for a number of years, right?
17 years.
Okay, so it's not like he'd not been had success with them before. He was there the last time they went to the tournament.
Yeah, it's time to move on.
But the funniest part of it is, though, is that UCLA, nowhere to be found in the tournament.
Right.
USC, the number one recruit in the country last year, and I won't mention
Isaiah Collier. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't mention the other recruit because I just want to let him be a college kid. I don't want to, I don't want to talk about NBA rankings. I just want to let him be a college kid, so I don't want to mention other names.
Captain on fire.
No USC, no UCLA, and Long Beach State is carrying the torch for college basketball in Los Angeles with a coach who got fired before the tournament.
Party at the Nugget, Cappy.
Hey, you know that guy Dan Monson, though, you go back a long ways ago. That was one of those guys, George, that was like at Gonzaga in the early days and then took off for like a big Power 5 type school in Minnesota because he was hot. He was like, hey, I got no choice, and this is where I'm going to be hot. Turns out Gonzaga, 25 years later, is one of the best college basketball
programs. Oh, my God. Mark Few has been to the tournament like, a bazillion times already.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good story that our good friend Paolo Ugetti wrote a couple years ago about Don Monson, what could have been, or did he make the right move leaving Gonzaga?
He went to Michael's school to Minnesota, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, and then because he leaves, Don leaves and Mark Few
comes in and they become a dynasty, basically.
Right.
Like,
right.
Well, they don't have the championships to save it. But Gonzaga is legitimately one of the top teams in the country every year.
Yeah. And Monson has been, you ready for this? Like, who knew that Dan Monson was even at Long Beach State? Seriously.
Nobody.
Like, I'm not joking. Like, do you guys know where Steve Lavin is coaching nowadays?
Yeah.
God, he's been around. He's bounced. I don't know where
he's
he?
Bringing it up. It's in his area.
Yeah, it's University of San Diego. Like, it's one of those things where you would never know that, right? You wouldn't
point.
Know Dan Monson, Long Beach State. Come on,
I do know
years.
Now, right? Yeah,
Don Monson.
Well, I didn't really know that Monson is from Spokane, so he's from like the town.
And he went
Gonzaga,
and he went and got the money. And that was the thing at Minnesota. It's like, okay, should he have gone or what?
Well, in college,
all those
in college football, there's a story like that right now. You may remember this name. Remember Trev Alberts?
Yeah,
right.
Played for Nebraska for many years.
He was the athletic director.
He came back as the athletic director. He kept Fred Hoiberg. He brought in Matt Rhule, but Texas A&M comes swooped him in with a lot of cash. And I'm like, ooh, I know there's a lot of money there, I'm sure. But, bro, to leave your alma mater, you're not coming back there. That's it.
Oh, he left them? I thought he got fired.
No, he left to take the Texas A&M job.
Oh, wow.
So the grass isn't always greener on the other side, even though the money may help. Yep. But you may find yourself in a spiral after that career-wise, is my point.
And Monson is also saying, like, I'm not done coaching. I'm just done at Long Beach, but I'm not done coaching. They're the five seed of the Big West. Shout out to Long Beach State.
Anyway.
Shout out to them after you wanted to poo-poo on their parade.
I just like, I'm the biggest Long Beach State proponent there is here, man. I went many times to that school. I'm actually going in a couple weeks. You want to go with me to Graham's dad's school?
But Cappy, you mentioned no UCLA in the men's tournament, no USC in the men's tournament. They are in the women's tournament, though. So look, to me, I don't know if there's a rooting interest for LA, but I'm going to be all over the women's side of the bracket because the women's side of the bracket has more interesting stories.
Yeah. Juju Watkins is a baller, man. Baller. Great story for Juju.
Do you not agree, Cappy? The women's side is just more interesting this year?
I would say that I could not tell you the name of a guy's basketball player that's like the top five up for the Wooden Award. Mm-hmm. You know, like usually you would know the top guys.
Yeah.
I would say Caitlin Clark is by far and away the most famous college basketball player in America, regardless guys or girls.
Yeah, I would agree. And Juju Watkins, the young freshman here in L.A. at USC, she's basically put up similar numbers to what Caitlin Clark did in her freshman year. Like, basically, she's obliterated every USC women's record that there's already been as a freshman. The USC Trojans women's basketball team has not... Cappy already knows this, because I already told him, so I'm not going to let him cheat. Beto, do you know when the last time they were a one seed in the tournament?
Oh, I know this.
A one seed?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Lisa Leslie time, maybe, in the 90s?
1986, Cheryl Swoops.
Whoa.
I was gonna say, Cheryl Swoops. Cheryl Miller,
I was going to say 86, Cheryl Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cappy, you just knew that, though.
I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, he knew that.
But that's the thing.
That's how long ago it's been they've been a one seed in the women's tournament.
Your point is, college basketball, you don't know who the guys are anymore. Because they go 1 year.
Or they go to G League Ignite, or they go overseas.
Or they don't stay at their school more than...
Right, they transfer.
They go and they go and go. The women, they're building them. So it's cool to see, man.
And I will say this. Caitlin Clark, I saw her the other day on one... You know those Allstate commercials with Josh? Is that his name? The Allstate guy? What's his name? Is it not Josh? Am I getting it wrong?
Jake from State Farm.
Jake. Josh, the Allstate guy. No, it's his twin brother, Jake, you moron. Yeah. So Jake...
That's Chris Paul's commercial.
So I saw her... on one of those Allstate commercials with Jake, where she's like in the parking lot because, I don't know, somebody got into a fender bender in a parking lot. I'm like,
right, her and Jimmy Butler and Reggie Miller.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, there's the most, I can't think of another women's basketball player who's ever had like that sort of fame to have those kinds of endorsements. And she's a college player, which, you know, is a whole other story.
Well, she's going to help elevate, I think, the WNBA in a way. And I think, I've told you, her and Angel Reese, they have the potential to meet again in the Elite Eight.
In the Elite Eight, yeah.
And if they do again, and you know, and there's fireworks again like there was in the championship game last year, no one is going to benefit more from that than the WNBA, because they will end up becoming rivals at the next level as well, like Magic and Bird in a lot of ways.
I'm not as sold on that.
Okay, well, you also weren't sold on NIL 2 years ago, and here we are.
Well, yeah, no, NIL is happening.
You're like slow to the college game, I feel like.
It's happening. I acknowledge that it's happening. I'm just not positive. I'm not sure all of a sudden everybody's going to go become a WNBA fan.
No, I'm not saying that's the case. Cappy, but what my point is...
Elevate.
Right. Magic and Bird... the NBA Finals was in tape delay on CBS when they were in college, and it wasn't until they started meeting until they got to the NBA that eventually it became a live event. So it's small increments, dude. Like, it isn't going to go from being, you know, the seventh or eighth most popular sport in America to being, you know, competing with the NFL. That's not what's going to happen.
Oh, it's not. Oh, I thought that's what was going to happen.
Ay, siempre.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Give it to me, Queen.
Queen Latifah, man, she has put on, what a career she has put on. Like, when you think about starting in the music industry, evolving into acting. I mean, now there's way less music and way more acting. You know, the balance has changed there. But she is legit a queen. You know what I mean? The way she's been able to evolve as time goes by.
Yeah, and remember, she started out as more of a rapper than she was a singer.
Yeah.
You know? By the way, today's Sloppy Joe Day. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, not a huge Sloppy Joe guy personally.
Nor am I.
But not my thing.
But I do think Adam Sandler had a song. Didn't Adam Sandler have a song? Sloppy Joe, Sloppy, Sloppy Joe.
I mean, maybe.
Sloppy Joe, no?
I'll take your word for it.
Sloppy Joe, Sloppy, Sloppy Joe, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in a movie, isn't it? What movie is it in?
I don't know, man. I'm just about sure there's a Sloppy Joe song.
I mean, probably like Billy Madison or something.
It probably is, Bill.
Sloppy Joe.
Billy Madison sounds about right.
Oh, Cappy, I'll have you know that the pickleball tournament is happening this weekend. Join us at 7:10 Pickleball Madness Saturday at the Agape Pickleball Center at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Food, drinks, games, fun zone for the kids, and March Madness on the Tube. Plus, sign the biggest birthday card ever for Steve Mason and celebrate Mason and Ireland's 20th anniversary here on ESPN LA. RSVP now for your seat. Go to ESPNLA.com and click the Pickleball Madness logo. Special thanks to Cappy's friends at Subaru.
That's love.
It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And now, love is electric. So, Cappy, I'll have you know, I'm moving around much better today.
Okay. Oh, good. The back is feeling better?
Much better. Still a little sore.
Okay.
Still a little sore, but Beto texted me today and asked me when we're playing again, and I explained to him back injury, so I told him maybe Thursday a little light hitting, just to move around a little bit. So we'll see how I feel tomorrow and the next day, and I'm hoping Thursday and get a little court work in.
Cappy, when are you coming up here?
Well, I'm going to be up tomorrow.
Let's go play at Trudell's court.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you got to play. Like, these old people will kick your ass.
Yeah.
So what time tomorrow?
Whatever time
they're
you
open,
want.
They're open 8 to noon. They have an open run.
So am I. I will take you whenever. I'll pick you up and go.
But what about...
he's got the Cappy cast, though.
Yeah, about Wednesday, though? What about Wednesday with the Caleb workout?
Well, I can't go Wednesday after because I'm going to go meet with a partner, but you guys can go for sure.
What about... I have an idea. What about Wednesday night?
Didn't I just say tomorrow?
Yeah, but tomorrow I can't do it.
Okay, then we
can't. It doesn't work for
me. Well, but Wednesday night, I don't know what the night session looks like at Trudell's. I think there's reservations basically at that point. But if you want.
There's a Laker game Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Laker game.
Wednesday night. Wednesday.
Oh, no, not Laker game.
Oh, Cappy.
I'm doing TV.
How about this? Since we're going to be in the South Bay on Thursday, why don't you come down to the South Bay on Thursday a little early?
Okay.
And then we play there, whether it's a Trudell's court or my home court.
Trudell's court. It's right around the corner from where you guys are going
to be. Oh, that's true.
At the island.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, so
but that's a reservation one. Again, afternoon. You have to go there in the morning.
This guy can't come up for you?
Well, he's got the Cappy cast.
Again, he can take a day off.
Well, no, hard for me. It's hard for me to take a day off on the Cappy cast.
Because it's the Cappy cast.
Right. Yeah. You know?
It's not the cast Cappy.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. Jono say.
If it was the other way, if it was the cast Cappy, then it'd be different. You know
what
I'm saying?
A whole different world. Yeah. It'd be a different world.
Right. But everybody's it's the Cappy cast.
Everybody's trying to please Cappy and help
him out. But I do think we could play in the afternoon, maybe on my home court, Cappy, because it's not, it's only 20 minutes to the islands.
I also like the idea Wednesday. I do feel like we're off the air a bit early on Wednesday because maybe of like the play-in games in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but we're still off at 6.
Right, so look, we could play at 7 o'clock at night, 7:30 at night.
It's going to be packed. Yeah, people are getting off work. They'll
Daylight
be going to these places.
Different now. That place is a pop.
Let's just play Thursday.
All right, we'll figure it out.
I'll
just tell you this right now.
No.
I carry my paddle in my car right now. I'm pickleball ready at all times.
DeAndre's shaking his head like that.
Anyway.
It's tough when you got 3 jobs. You understand that, Beto. Come on, you're the 1099 king.
Yeah, but I don't make as much as you, so I can go whenever.
Well, no, I don't make any money.
Cappy.
Yo.
The Lakers.
Ooh. Ooh.
Let's start with the game, and we'll get to the delay stuff after.
Okay.
Because I feel like the delay stuff is a separate topic of conversation. But the Lakers have put themselves in a real pickle, okay?
You think?
They are now in a position where they do not have the tiebreaker against the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have the tiebreaker against the Sacramento Kings. They have the tiebreaker against the Phoenix Suns, and I don't know the Mavericks. I'd have to look that up. But I'm fairly certain that they may not. I don't know. I have to look it up. But either way, not good is my point. And Anthony Davis's eyeball apparently was swollen shut, according to reports. And that's not good because you can't play with one eye. So
look at me, man. I got one eye. Look at me, man. I'm ready to fight. He ain't ready to fight. See, that gives me an opportunity to
do Mike Tyson. Right.
Right.
He
got one more. I got one eye.
Yeah. So this is not not working out very well. Like I just feel like the Cappy roller coaster is now going on the downside. It's picking up a lot of speed. It's getting a little scary now, right?
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh yeah, everybody's gonna pick their arms up in the air. Woo! Oh yeah. Yeah, listen.
Oh,
George.
Dallas does have the tiebreaker on the Lakers. So they so really the only team they have the tiebreaker on is Phoenix in front of them at the moment.
Yeah, here's the problem for the Lakers. You want to know what the problem really comes down to?
Yeah.
It's not Anthony Davis's eye. It's not Gabe Vincent not playing all season. It's not Jared Vanderbilt not coming back. It's not Cam Reddish who's disappeared. It's none of these things. You want to know what the problem is?
What is it?
The Lakers stink.
Yeah, they're just not as good.
They're just not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else you want me to tell you. I mean, look.
They're very average.
You are at home. And you can't beat the Golden State Warriors. And if anybody out there dares says, but Anthony Davis was hurt. Excuse me. Did I not see Anthony Davis and LeBron James sitting on the bench together in Boston? And that team went out and beat the Boston Celtics without LeBron James and Anthony Davis? The fact of the matter is if you're at home, and even if Anthony Davis is hurt in the game, you should still be able to win that game. It's a winnable game. I'm not saying the Lakers are far and away better than Golden State. I'm just saying it's a winnable game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. Because this team, they're just not a good team. That's real basketball analysis right there. Not a good team.
No, it's just true.
All year long. Totally inconsistent. Can't put together like a really consistent winning streak of any kind. I think it's been four games maybe at most during the year. LeBron's been healthy all year. AD's been healthy all year. You had a core nucleus of guys, and this is the deal. This is who they are. 10th place. And I'm, you know, we were talking about how they could possibly work their way up into 6th place. I mean, hanging on to 10th place seems like a no-brainer just because everybody behind them is so much worse. But where are they going from 10th place, George?
Well, they have. If they end up in 10th place, they have chosen the road less traveled, okay? Because I know what people are going to say. Well, Miami came out of the play-in last year and went to the finals. Yes, but they did it out of the 8th spot, okay? Where they still, like, they didn't have to. They lost the first game. They were the 7, and then they had a second chance to get themselves the 8th spot, and they did. The Lakers have no room for error in that scenario. You have to play 2 games on the road, and you have to win them both in a 1-game scenario.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just don't know where everybody thinks the Lakers are going. Remember last week we had this conversation about how everybody in the Lakers says that if you're in the LeBron business, you're playing for a championship?
Yeah.
And I said to you, who in the Lakers really truly believes that this year's Lakers team is playing for a championship? Your answer was LeBron.
Right.
And then you started going through people, oh, this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. I don't think so. Anybody who thinks that this Lakers team right now is a championship team, we're lying to ourselves. And by the way, I've been lying to myself plenty, just so you know. Okay? They win a game, championship. Lose a game, toast. Win a game, I actually believe they can go back to the Western Conference Finals. Lose a game, they're like, they can't beat Sacramento. They can't beat Denver. Yeah, okay, so they beat Oklahoma City a couple of times this year. Wow, great. You can't beat Golden State at home. I mean, and Klay just went off. I mean, I know he wasn't even the leading scorer, but still. I mean, Klay, for a guy who's not had a great season.
In the first quarter, he kept them in the game.
I mean, he went off.
The Lakers were cruising, and then Klay came off the bench and went nuts, and then the rest of the Warriors eventually caught up.
Yeah, it's just, this team is just not good. That's just the reality of the situation.
Right, that's where we're at. They are not good. Yeah. Laura, do you feel like your team is not good?
You have to be honest with yourself. They're not good. I saw them play, and I'm just like, eh. That's what you get from them. Eh.
Yeah.
People get mad because I say that, but.
I mean, maybe Mr. Basketball can sell us on something different. Big D? I mean, are the Lakers good? Did I miss something?
Are you a Lakers fan, D?
I consider myself more like a Lakers. Okay. I just like the game more.
I don't know. I got to ask these questions. You're like an Eagles fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a Lakers fan.
Wearing Giants hats and all this other craziness.
That's just for the fit. But
whatever.
I just feel like, yeah, they're not a good team. I think
they're not. People aren't mad because you say that, but they're not.
It's true. They're just, it is what it is. And look, they'd have to prove a lot of people wrong. I don't know. I don't see it.
But you know how all season long people have been asking the Laker players, like, so, hey, listen, you know where you're sitting right now in the standings, I mean, is that problematic going into the postseason?
And they've said no.
Right, they have this arrogant attitude, like, it doesn't matter where we go into the playoffs. Doesn't matter if we're home court or we're not home court. Doesn't matter if we have to play in or in the playoffs. We're fine once we get to the postseason. Like, who are you guys? Did I miss something? Are you guys like some dynasty that I missed? Like, you guys can't just flip a switch and turn it on and run towards a championship. You've been mediocre all year long, and your two biggest stars, the two guys you had to have remain healthy all year, have for the most part been healthy all year.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it really is. You're at the point now where it's just like, there's not a lot of time. There's 14 games left, you know, and it just looks like they are relegated to the play-in. And if that's the case, I just don't know if I see lightning striking twice like it did last year with Miami. And then couple the fact that the West is harder than the East is. Not that the East is a cupcake ride either, you know what I'm saying? But the West is definitely harder.
All I know is this, is that about 2-3 weeks ago, we were talking about the future of LeBron James with this team. And it was like, well, they probably are going to just need to sign him for a couple of years beyond just next year, because there's really no game plan beyond LeBron. Let me ask everybody a question. If the Lakers wind up getting into the play-in at 10 and they get knocked out like immediately, why would you think that the Lakers should keep LeBron James?
They shouldn't.
I mean, why?
Well, what their other options are.
They'd be
way over the cap. They wouldn't be able to sign anybody. Like, it just, they'd be in purgatory. They'd be worse than in purgatory.
Okay, so all
they'd
of
be
that,
in hell at that point.
Okay, but
like, legitimately, like, not just Terminal H, like, straight up hell.
Okay, all that aside, I guess what I'm really trying to say, though, George, is at some point, you got to cut bait and rebuild.
Oh, okay, I get it.
That
but,
part.
But I don't see them doing that, because I just don't. And I'll tell you why on the other side. I'll tell you why. Plus, let's get to this ridiculous delay that happened. Something that Mike Breen, who's the voice of the NBA, had never seen in his 30 years of broadcasting. So we'll get to that in just a second. But first, let me tell you about my friend Jacob and Ronnie. Listen, you get into an accident, it's very simple. All right, you call Jacob. 844-24-JACOB.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So whether it's a motorcycle accident, okay, whether it's an auto accident, whether it's an Uber or Lyft accident, this guy, he's got you. He's got 25 years of experience. And as a sports fan, like he is as well, you are listening to the show, you want to be coached, right, by a good coach, right? You want to be a well-coached team, right? Because a well-coached team wins more times than not. And Jacob is like your coach in this situation. He's always winning. He's always getting ready for the next opponent. That's right. My guy Jacob will take care of you. 844-24-JACOB. You ever injured in a car accident, truck accident, slip or fall at the store, ride share, whatever it is, okay? Call him at 844-24-JACOB, okay? The accident, by the way, is only the beginning of the game. Jacob, when you call him at 844-24-JACOB, you'll get the free consultation. Jacob knows the weaknesses of your opponent, how to exploit the opponent, and go attack against that insurance company to provide you the victory you deserve. So make sure you're on the winning team. If you're injured in an accident, don't wait. Call Jacob at 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Guys, a lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. You call Jacob, he'll win for you. So call him at 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or visit him online at calljacob.com. Beto and I were talking, so I only heard Pat Riley at the end, and I figured it's a shot at me, so I don't
it
know.
It was.
Yeah.
That he wondered, Christopher, if Whitney Houston wrote this song.
For me and Pat Riley?
About you and your adoration and love affair with one Patrick Arthur Riley.
Listen, let me tell you something about Pat Riley, okay? When I was a young person in this industry, mm-hmm. okay, and it's Patrick James Riley, by the way,
not Arthur.
No.
Oh.
So the I got like a scolding from him when I was young, and I'll never forget it. And it made me like be better, which I appreciate.
What did he scold you for?
It was just something I said about a player on a talk show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I pulled a U, basically.
He was listening? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everybody yeah. listens, Beto.
Oh, yeah.
Well, 20 years ago, yeah, but not.
Yeah. So back then, remember, there no, was no internet. Like, today, for listens. Sure, back then, sports radio was a huge thing.
It was the only thing. There was no podcast, no yeah. debate shows, no nothing.
I took just a dumb swipe at Eddie Jones because he was playing poorly. Like something I would never say now. You know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't like bad. It was just like just ridiculing him for his
low
play.
Low-hanging fruit kind
of yeah,
thing.
It was just so. Ridiculing him for his play. It wasn't anything like personal. But it was the way, you know, you could just, you know, back then, it's like you're yelling and screaming. I mean, I still yell and scream, but less so now. I was mad. You can imagine I would scream even more back then. But I was just on him and on him and on him. And then one day he gave it to me. He's like, dude, are you going to ever lay off Eddie Jones or what? Like, he is trying his ass off out there. Like, and he does things that don't appear in the box score. And you know what? That was the first time I learned that in basketball, where it's like you can watch a guy, and just because he's not scoring points doesn't mean he's not helping the team. And he taught me that. So I will give him a lot of credit. And I forever am in debt to him in a lot of ways because he could have, they were the flagship station. They could have really, you know, he could have really been like a real jerk about it.
Did he yell at you or scold you?
I mean, scolded me.
So it's like your dad talking
yeah,
to you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
disappointed in
yeah,
you. Like, oh,
yeah,
that hurts.
And you don't forget yeah. that. So, but let me tell you, it changed our relationship because, you know, it became a relationship after that. And now, you know, he's 80 years old and it's kind of crazy to see him when I run into him. Obviously, when they played here, I ran into him and chit-chatted with him for a little bit. But yeah, dude, I owe that guy a lot, man.
Did
There's
you have
no
a
doubt.
Relationship
well, the
with
greatest love of all.
He is my greatest love of all. Are yeah. you jealous it's not you?
Yes.
A little bit.
I think that's
little,
what it is.
A little. I'm more jealous that I don't have the greatest love of all with Pat Riley. That's kind of what I'm more jealous about.
I mean, listen, if you want to come down for a game or something, just let me know. Like,
but you've had that with somebody in San Diego, Kathy,
yeah,
right?
I'm sure, right?
I've had a lot of love affairs in my day.
Then?
But
what are
I will
so
tell
jealous
you,
of?
But I will tell you this.
Just because your love affair didn't write The Winner Within, I mean, yeah. you know, it was a best-selling book. It's not my
that's
fault.
Right. He did not. Yeah. He did not write The Winner Within. No, yeah. he didn't. I'll tell you, though, I did have, it's funny you say that, though, a coach kind of grinding you on something you're saying about a player. I once had a coach tell me, he goes, you said something about me on the radio one day. He said it was so bad that I had to pull my wife and my kids together and explain to them what was going on. And it really, this guy told me, he goes, it tested my faith. I go, what, me? What did I possibly say? What could I have possibly said about you that could be so bad? And he told me that he was driving to work one day, listening on the radio, and I was saying, there's one guy that should be fired. He's responsible for this entire mess. And then I said, I'll tell you who that is right after the break. And this guy sat in his car waiting to find out. God, I hope he's not saying me. And I did. It was him. I'm like, this guy should be fired. He's a terrible coach. He's a terrible leader. He's screwing up guys' careers. They should fire him. And he got home that night, and his wife was upset. His kids were upset. I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. What can I tell you, man?
Might
I'm
be.
Loud mouth on sports radio. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Who was it?
It was an offensive coordinator way back when. Yeah. Worked for Marty Schottenheimer. His name was Cam Cameron.
Oh, my God. I know.
Yeah.
That guy's like the most religious dude in the world, too.
I know. And here was me. See, I tested his faith.
Well, I ripped
literally
him a ton.
His face.
So he was
yeah.
the coach
he was in
of
Miami. Right?
He was the coach of the Dolphins when yeah. they had like one of the worst seasons in the history of the sport when I was right. working there. And we would just make fun of him more than anything else. We weren't like say he should get fired. If anything, we wanted to keep him around because it was like so much fun to make fun of them.
Yeah,
you know?
That's how I felt about Brandon Staley last year for the Chargers.
Yeah,
I hate the fact that they hired Jim Harbaugh.
Hey, by the way, I know you don't hate this. The madness is here, Cappy. We're going to be at
Island Bay.
Yeah, in Manhattan Beach, 3200 North Sepulveda Boulevard, inside the Manhattan Village. Starts at 10 a.m. with Travis and Slee, then Mason and Ireland, then us till 7. Come out and press the flesh, watch all the hoops, and have your chance to win great prizes. 710 hits the South Bay on Thursday, thanks to Island's Restaurants, your local paradise. Yeah, I mean, Cam Cameron, that's a name from the past. Holy
oh, I know,
moly.
Right? I know.
This will be a funny line. You can find this on YouTube still. So they wanted to draft Brady Quinn. Remember Brady Quinn,
yeah,
the
Notre Dame
quarterback?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cleveland alert, he ended up with the Browns. But they drafted Ted Ginn Jr. Do you remember Ted Ginn Jr.
The wide
from Ohio State?
From Ohio State? Yeah.
Yeah. He had like a big kick return in the national championship game that year, whatever. But he was like small, you know, and like skinny, you know. And they drafted him, and people were so mad at this draft party. They were booing Cam Cameron when he came on the stage. And he's like, turn those thumbs this way. And, like, you know, he's so hokey and, like, religious and, like, a nice human being. Like, he probably never even cursed, I'm guessing. And then he had a saying. He's like, look, we've been bad, and we want to just get through that part of being bad. He goes, we want to fail forward fast.
Right.
And it was just like, wow, what a terrible saying that is for sports fans. So, like, it just, yeah, he poor guy. He was
first thing that pops up on YouTube right there.
Oh,
it's labeled bad press conference.
Yes, there it is. You see? a sweetheart of a human being. He ended up being, like, the offensive coordinator at LSU for a little bit after that.
Yeah. And then another one, he does not deny the Alabama job while getting interviewed at the Dolphins facility.
No, that's Nick Saban.
No.
That was Nick Saban. That was Nick Saban.
We want him to fail forward fast.
There it is!
I want guys going out in this game not being afraid to fail. But if you fail forward. What does that mean? Well, if you're failing forward, that means you're failing, but you're learning. And then you got to learn fast. Early in the first quarter, I want some guys to go out there and fail. Fail in the first half. We've got to be failing at a fast rate, and we got to be failing forward. And that's kind of the theme that I'll give them tonight. So if you hit them with that one in the locker room, they haven't heard that one yet.
And I bet you when they heard it in the locker room, they rolled their eyes.
Yeah, they were like, what?
Bad press conference.
Let me tell you something, dude. That, to me, that should be the motto of our show, fail forward fast. That's how we do things around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clip that quick.
Clip that quick, especially the first part, just the fail forward fast. I feel like that's a drop that can live forever. Yeah. So, Cappy, we still didn't get to what transpired at the arena the other day, and that not just the bad Lakers loss.
That was failing forward slow.
They failed forward slowly. Yes,
Cappy.
At the arena.
Look at you, Cappy.
There you go.
Look at you.
They did.
We got you fired up
early.
We'll
get to that. And then you and I are doing a little mandate on Wednesday. So we'll get to that in a second, too. But first, parents, listen up real quick. Don't you want what's best for your kids? Of course you do, right? So choosing a dentist can be challenging because let's face it, it's not like the dentist has got like great branding, right? Especially with kids. They are terrified of the dentist. Well, I'll tell you this. I got the spot for you. Children's Dental Fun Zone. It's got fun in the name, man. Someone that your child can trust and enjoying going to when they go to the dentist. I'll tell you about my friends at Children's Dental Fun Zone. They got 17 locations across Southern California to choose from. Children's Dental Fun Zone specializes in children's dentistry and orthodontics. And of course, state-of-the-art equipment and personal attention that your kids will love. All right? Here's what they got at Children's Dental Fun Zone for your kids. They got movies. They got iPads. What kid doesn't love an iPad at this point? They make your kids have fun at the dentist. Who would have ever thought this? Well, they did. That's why you got to go to Children's Dental Fun Zone with the movies and the iPads and the toys for your kids to play with. And for the parents, they accept Medi-Cal, PPO, and HMO insurance plans. So to book your child's next appointment at Children's Dental Fun Zone, go to their website, cdfzone.com, Children's Dental Fun Zone, cdfzone.com, or call them at 800-717-KIDS. That's 800-717-KIDS.